There's only one announcement. Next Sunday, there will be a Dutch service at 7:30, the Lord willing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. Beloved congregation, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shall we sing now Psalter 3, all stanzas?
Thank you.
Shall we listen now to the holy law of the Lord, and shall we sing in response to that Psalter 75, stanzas 3 and 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The scripture reading is from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 27, till chapter 3, verse 1. The scripture reading is from Daniel 2, from verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king had demanded cannot the wise man, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers shew unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came unto thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealed secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest still that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art the king of kings, for the God of heaven had given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven had he given into thine hand, and had made thee ruler of them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdued all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and breeze. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of man, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief over of the governors, over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. So far the scripture reading. Let us unite in prayer now, and we will pray the Lord for the father of Andy Den Hollander, who is in hospital, and we will pray also for the freedom of Martin Overdoen, who has been kidnapped, and we thank the Lord that Mr. and Mrs. Henry Otten received a baby boy. Let us unite in prayer now. Almighty and heavenly God, thou art full of mercy unto us, for it is only thy goodness that we may be here in the courts of thy house. Thou hast spared us in the week which had passed, and that although we didn't deserve this, because in the week that now passed we have misbehaved and we were sinful people in thy holy sight. Oh, let us feel these things deep in our hearts, so that we may bow down before thy sight, O Lord, with the prayer in our heart for forgiveness from all our sins. We beseech thee, O Lord, that thou will wash us from all our sins and iniquities by the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, for that sacrifice of his body and his blood can be the only foundation and ground on which sinners can be in the communion of thee, O Lord. For thou art the holy God, full of righteousness, and how should we, who are full of sin and injustice, can live with thee without grace? O, we beseech thee, that we may understand it for the first time or anew, that it is only the grace of Thee in which we can stay. Give us Thy mercy to feel in our hearts. Give us Thy blessing in the preaching of the sermon, and that there may be in our hearts a going out unto Thee. O, will give us forgiveness that we don't seek Thee as we should do, that the thoughts and the will and our hearts are going mostly to other things that are of beneath. Will Thou give us Thy Holy Spirit so that we in the way of conversion may seek the things that are above, where Jesus Christ is as the King of Kings. Yes, He is the Lord who rules and reigns all over the world. Give us an eye of faith to see His rule, for when we see in our world, then there can be the question in our heart, is the Lord really ruling this world? We cannot understand Thy ways. We cannot understand Thy ruling. For there are so many things in the world and maybe also in our life that give reason to ask in our heart, does the Lord know about these things? Oh, we pray Thee, will give us the faith to trust in Thee and in Thy rule. Then we need that we may bow down before the King of Kings, and that we may live in dependence of His power and might. But will teach us, O Lord, that His might and power is a power of salvation, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is ruling all over the world and is ruling in the lives of His people in a way that goes against our flesh. But let Thy people may believe and see that it is the good way, although it is sometimes difficult, and although there are so many circumstances who give reason to fear. We pray Thee for the freedom of Martin Overduin and the others who are in prison now. Thou art the God of deliverance. O, will them set in freedom, not for their own sake, but for Jesus' sake. O, they don't deserve it, but we beseech Thee, pleading unto Thy mercy, that Thou will give it freedom to them, so that it may be to the glory of Thy name. And we pray for all the family Overduin, that they may have trust in Thee, that Thou wilt make everything well. We pray Thy blessing also for those who are sick, especially for the father from Andy den Hollander, who lays in the hospital with a heart attack. Will thou save him, O Lord, and that he may experience thy presence, so that it may be good for his body and his soul? Will thou give it to him, the comfort of both? We pray for all who are in need, in sadness. Will thou be with all of them and grant them all that they need? There are many also in our congregation who are in sadness and sorrow, who have difficulties and who are in trials. Give them thy strength, and we pray, give conversion to all who are strangers of thy grace. Give repentance in all our hearts, that we may turn back to the living Lord. We pray for all the labors in thy kingdom. Will thou give the blessings everywhere where the preaching of thy word is at this day? Especially we pray thee, O Lord, for the students in Holland who may at this Sunday for the first time preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will thou give them thy blessing, so that it may be to the glory of thy name and kingdom? We have many reasons to give thanks unto thee for all the blessings of healthy and freedom, that we may have work and food. O Lord, give us a thankful heart to praise thy name, especially for the family Otten, who may receive from thy hand a baby boy. Thou hast made everything well, and therefore we will praise thy name. Give those parents a grateful heart to thank thee, and that they may dependent on thee to lead their children in thy way. O Lord, will bless us this morning in this service. Give us thy Holy Spirit when we are listening, but also when we have to preach, and made everything well in the forgiveness of all our sins. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. The text of the sermon of this morning you find in Daniel 2, verses 44 and 45. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver and the gold. So far. We will sing now from Psalter 265, stanzas 1, 2 and 3. After the sermon, we will sing from Psalter 45, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Babylon, a great kingdom, mighty and imposing. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of that kingdom, were as a master of the world. All the world of that time was subject to him. Also was Israel. What shall happen now with the people of Israel? Will the covenant people stay? When we look at Babylon, his might and temptation, then we would despair. We are living also between the states and dominions of the world, like Israel in that time. And the dominions of the world have temporal and spiritual powers. Those are dangerous for the church. The power of communism and liberalism and materialism and so on threaten death to the church of God. How will the church be found again? Here she is seduced and else chaste. Is the Lord yet thinking upon his poor church? Seems the future not despairing? When Jesus Christ comes back, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, beloved congregation, what is your opinion about this? And maybe you have to ask by yourself, when Jesus is coming back, shall I have faith then? That depends. What is your opinion? It depends on whether you look at Babylon or at the Bible. When we look at Babel or at the Bible, that is a great difference. Are we living with the circumstances of the world, or are we living with the Word of God? To the latter, that's what we need. That's the real point. God gives us his Word, not by the wisdom of Babylon, but through a dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And that word, therein he reveals the secrets of his rule. And for the church of all days, it is necessary that they may live in dependence on that rule of the Lord. And that means that they may live close and near to the Word of God. So the church, who are in many afflictions and difficulties, for it is a struggle against sin, against their own sinful heart, but the church, what is in the midst of the dangers of the world from Babylon, they must not look upon Babel, but they have to live with the Bible. And this morning we see that the Lord reveals the secret of his rule. And that may be the comfort of his church. In the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the Lord had revealed the struggle between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. And we see 2 points. First, the destruction of the kingdom of the world, and second, the victory of the kingdom of God. The struggle between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. First, we see the destruction of the kingdom of the world. So we see Daniel this morning standing before the king. Yes, that great king, Nebuchadnezzar. But he was not alone. The Lord was with Daniel. He stands there not with empty hands, but with the wisdom of God. That wisdom was not of Daniel himself. Daniel confesses that honestly, for who has received the wisdom from God, acknowledge his own foolishness. And so Daniel is not ashamed to say that his own wisdom is worthless. Now Daniel may pass on the kings that he received, and he may be a witness of the revelation of God. This is the manner of working of the God of Israel, for he is the God of heaven. He passes the wisdom of Babylon over, that heaven king needs a servant of God to understand the message of God. And Daniel himself was also dependent on the explanation of God, because it was a secret. What is hidden for us men. But God enlightened his mind and gave Daniel insight in God's work. And before Daniel goes to the king, he blessed his God. Blessed is the name of God, for wisdom and might are his. He revealed the deep and secret things. That humble prayer of thanksgiving, Daniel would not forget. The blessing of the name of the Lord is more important as the message for the king. Oh, often we are inclined to forget the thanksgiving to the Lord. But that shortcoming in thankfulness does harm to the testimony of God's work. But Daniel, he first blessed his God, for he has revealed him the king's matter. And therefore, Daniel was standing before the king with frankness, for God would take God's work. But Daniel, he first blessed his God, for he has revealed him the king's matter. And therefore, Daniel was standing before the king with frankness, for God will take care of the honor of his kingdom. And after Daniel gave thanks to the God in him, he can in public witness that the God of heaven reveals secrets. Thus Daniel was able to make known unto the king the dream that he had seen. And Daniel could also give the interpretation thereof. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. His brightness was excellent. The form of this image was terrible. It had the figure of a man. The parts of this image consisted of different metals. The head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his sides of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. This image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream was a symbol of man and his history. In his explanation, Daniel declares that the different parts of this image were indications of different kingdoms of the world. The golden head is the kingdom of Babylon. Thou, O King, art this head of gold, because Nebuchadnezzar ranked over a great kingdom, for the God of heaven had given them a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Remarkable that Daniel says it like this. It was not for the sake of the strength and the power of the king that he had such a great kingdom. No, Daniel says, although you are a heaven king, it was the God of heaven who gave to you this kingdom. Do you see how Daniel gives the honor only to the God of Israel? Oh, do you see how strong Daniel here is in the faith, in the trust of the God of Israel? There was very much courage for to say that in the sight of the king of Babylon, it is not from you, but it is from the God of Israel. But Daniel, he says it in the strength of the Lord, and he is a witness of the power of the God of heaven. But Daniel had also to say to Nebuchadnezzar that his kingdom would not stay forever. After your great kingdom, there shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. Then there is no gold anymore, but silver. The breast and the arms of silver point out to the Persian dominion. The kingdom of the Medes and Persians was not so excellent as the Babylonian kingdom, but nevertheless it was a very great kingdom during 200 years. And after them a new dominion, the kingdom of the Greek. Alexander the Great One has captured from Macedonia many countries around the Mediterranean Sea. That meant a great spreading of the Hellenism. And Daniel says in his explanation of this kingdom of Greece, that was the kingdom of brass, that it shall bear rule over all the earth. Maybe we can think here at the Greek culture, which was extended all over the world. Then we get the legs of iron. They mean the Roman Empire. That was also a decisive period in history of mankind. And that Roman Empire harmonized with the material of the image, namely so hard as iron. Oh, we know from history that this dominion had persecuted the Christians, and therefore it was so hard as iron. Till the first century, the Roman Empire was an iron unit. The Romans were very hard against the Christians. They freed them before the lions and so on. Well, Daniel gave already a prophecy of this. As iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, so it will be characteristic of this kingdom to break all things in pieces and to breathe. Then we get the kingdom of the feet, part of iron and part of clay. Some explainers will think at the political power of Mohammedanism, but that is not right, for Daniel speaks clear about another kingdom, a kingdom that shall be divided. This divided kingdom is the last and final period of human history. For in verse 44 we read that in the days of these kings, namely of the kingdom of iron and clay, the God of heaven shall set up his kingdom, which shall be never destroyed. That's the kingdom of heaven, from which John the Baptist had preached, it is at hand now. So this is the time from the ruin of the Roman Empire until the end of the world. That last period, that fifth kingdom, part of iron and part of clay, that means the last period till the end of the world. That are the last days. So the feet of iron and clay is the last period in which also we are living now. And therefore we have to see what is typical of this kingdom. Daniel says it shall be divided. It is part of iron and part of clay. So the fifth period is different from the others. Now there isn't any more one great world kingdom like in the time of Babylon and Persia, Greek and Rome. Oh sure, there is power to rule, that's the iron, but there is not sufficient unit. It is too weak to form one great world dominion. This kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken, Daniel said, because iron and clay don't mix together. So the meaning is, there will be kings and kingdoms every now and then, but it shall nobody succeed to form one firm kingdom in that last period. It shall be a divided kingdom, a divided time from many kingdoms who doesn't agree to each other. Even in the two world wars, it didn't happen. This kingdom is divided. Well, don't we see it in our days? What a dissension between the Arabs and Israel. There is division between Russia and America. Division also in Europe and Africa. That's the time in which we are living now. Don't we clear see the signs of the divided kingdom all around us? So we can see in this image in which time we live. And that's necessary that we may distinguish the signs of our days, so that we may be watchful. For the nearer we come to the last day, the more divided it will be in world, in church, and in families. Divided, that is characteristic of the days in which we live. And that we have to see as a sign, as a warning to us. The Lord is saying to all of us this morning, do you see the signs of the time, how divided all things are in the great world, but also in our small life? It's all divided, and that is a sign that the kingdom of the Lord is coming. It is a sign that we must be watchful to expect the Lord Jesus Christ, because he will come soon. But this image has yet another message to us, namely that the kingdoms of the world are going past. The kingdoms of the world shall be destructed, and they will be destructed by the kingdom of the Lord. We read in verse 34 that Daniel said, thou sawest still that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet and brake them to pieces. That great image, that is a symbol of the kingdoms of the world. In this image, there are different materials, but how different all the kingdoms of the world may be, together they form one great image, the image of man. That is their unity. They are all godless dominions. It is always a rule, a kingdom without God, without his commandments. And that we have to see good this morning in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. God had revealed to him and also to us that all the kingdoms of the world belong in that one great image. It is the image of man, of sinful man, of man without God. And that we have to see when we look upon the kingdoms of our world. All those kingdoms, well, they can give us the blessing that we need. It are all kingdoms of that image of man. They are all kingdoms without the commandments of the Lord. And such kingdoms had to be passed away. It are godless, wicked dominions. The one kingdom is destructed by the following kingdom, but together they are the one world kingdom. There live the people who don't want to serve the only holy God of heaven. In the kingdoms of the world there live the people who don't come to conversion, and they go their own ways without the Lord. Do you see it this morning in that image of all the kingdoms? It is the image of the enemy of God, the kingdom without God and his commandments. Those kingdoms serve the evil one. So we must see today the world history, how divided America and Russia may be, yet they are one in the same principle. It is a kingdom without the Lord. America is not the kingdom of heaven. Oh, we have to see that very good in order that we shall not trust in any kingdom of the world, that we shall not trust in any man of the world, how powerful he may be. Nebuchadnezzar saw a great image whose brightness was excellent. The form thereof was terrible. Oh yes, many people are tempted by the glory of those kingdoms. But those kingdoms, how great, how beautiful they are, will not exist. That is the message this morning from the God of heaven to all of us, that the kingdoms of the world shall be destructed. They will not exist. Do you look very well to this image? Then you see how unsteady it is. This image is very uncertain on his legs. So every step that we go further in the history, we come closer to the total destruction of all kingdoms of the world. It is the total destruction of all people who don't come to conversion. All the wicked shall be destructed forever. Oh, what a serious warning in this vision, in this dream of Nebuchadnezzar. It is not only a dream, but it is reality, for it is a revelation of God. The Lord is saying to us by this dream that the kingdoms of the world will be destroyed. Everything that puts into use of this kingdom shall fall down to ruin forever. The image of man will not exist. This preaches us the end of the world and the destruction of everyone who trusts on work of man. The destruction of everyone who expects it of man. Why represent all those kingdoms the picture of a man? Because man stands central in the kingdoms of this world. The power of the man, the knowledge of man, the glory of man. Oh, the world is full of egoism. Man is seeking himself. There is none that seeketh after God. That is the scheme of this world. Don't we see it around us? Everywhere we see the image of man, in the clothes that the people are wearing, in the attitude in which they work, and so on. Did you see it, you also, boys and girls, the image of man in the people around us? Is their own ego is central in their life. They don't want to count with the Lord. And did you see in this image of man your own life? Oh, we are very proud since the fall. We are proud in ourselves, and we think we can have power and strength in ourselves. We think we are as great as that image of that dream. Maybe we can have gold and silver. Maybe we are so strong and powerful as iron. But the Lord says, it is the image of man. And that is what we are. So we have to see our own image in that image of the dream of the king of Babylon. Did you confess it, that you are such a sinner, such a man who don't see the Lord as it had to be? Well, we have to learn that at the feet of the Lord, that we are seeking ourselves instead of to seek the Lord. We are in our own eyes as great as this image, that we have to see so that we may come into repentance and conversion, because the Lord is warning us, the wicked man, the unconverted, will not exist. They will be destructed. Oh, we can ask sometimes, there are so many sins, so many are godless, how can the Lord see it? Well, he will not do it forever. The kingdoms of the world will not exist. And when we are also a citizen of those kingdoms, we will also be destructed, destroyed forever. We will have no future. That is the message of the image of man. And let we could say, see, it permits no delay, for it is in this time that the kingdom of God is coming and that the image is going to be destroyed. Daniel declares, in the days of these kings is coming the kingdom of God. In the period of those kingdoms, as together representing gentle world dominion, is the kingdom of Messiah set up. It is while the Colossus is standing that God will set up his kingdom. So it is in this time. Boys and girls, you see the image is standing. The greatness of the world, the seduction of the desirabilities are around you. But see it well, the kingdom of the Lord will destruct all those other kingdoms in the days of these kings, especially in the days of the dominion of the feet, part of iron and part of clay, that goes through each other, but they don't mix, iron and clay. Don't mix. That is ambiguous. Have not many members of the church such an ambiguity at Sunday in church, but other days of the week not active for the church? Well, looking long at television many evenings, but a short reading from the Bible. Well, religious, but not God-fearing, well-busy in religion, but not bear witness to the work of God. Ambiguous, do you see? Part of iron, part of clay. They don't mix together. Isn't it so in your life, maybe? Part for God and a part for the world, a part for the church and a part to your own. Ambiguous, neither cold nor hot, lukewarm and infertile for the kingdom of God. Well, be warned this morning, the ambiguous Christianity will not exist. It will be also destructed. For when we are living like this, apart to God and apart to our own, that is not true conversion. Then we belong in that image of the kingdoms of the world. And therefore, true conversion, no less, that is what we need. Those members who are ambiguous belong to the divided kingdom. Oh, come to repentance and conversion. Yes, but my heart, it is also divided. Sometimes I want to serve the Lord, but in other days my heart is going out to the world. Divided, my heart, is that maybe your problem? Is that maybe your struggle? Divided inside. Oh, pray the Lord, unite my heart in the fear of thy name. That's what we need, the unit of the whole heart to God. And that's only the work of the Holy Spirit. And that need the people of the Lord more and more. For when we are going the way of conversion, then we go see, my heart is divided. I will only for a part serve the Lord, but for the other part I want to serve my own. And therefore they need a daily conversion, that their hearts may more and more in the unit for the fear of the Lord. And therefore, children of God, all those things in your heart and life, what belong in that image of the kingdoms of the world, it must out of your life. It must be a holy conversion of your whole heart. And that is what we need daily, that God will put away from your life the things of the kingdom of the world. The Lord will give it when we pray, unite my heart to the fear of thy name. Yes, then we may receive the victory of the kingdom of God. For Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream also a stone cut out without hands, cut out of a mountain. And that stone broke the image in pieces. All that metals together became like chaff from the threshing floor, and all that kingdoms were scattered like chaff before the wind, and there is no place be found for them. You see, that's the place of the wicked. When we not come to a whole conversion of our heart, then there will be no place for you in eternity. The wicked will be destructed forever, and that will do the kingdom of God, because that stone is a symbol of the kingdom of the Lord. It is by the power of that stone that all the kingdoms of the world will be destroyed. It is the power of God. That stone consumed all those kingdoms, but the stone itself shall stand forever. It became like a great mountain who fulfilled the whole earth. Yes, that is the way of the kingdom of God. We can only see it by faith. For when we miss the faith, we say, where is in our world the kingdom of God? We don't see it. No, it is a secret. We only can see it by faith. When the Lord reveals it in our heart, like he revealed it to Daniel, it is by faith, by the light of the Holy Spirit, that we may see, yes, the kingdom of the Lord is coming in our days, in this world. And where can we see it? Well, this kingdom is not coming in power and might of man, but it is coming in the power of the Lord. And we can see it there, where a sinner had come to conversion, where sinners were be reborn by the Holy Spirit. Oh, that is a power, that is a might, but it is a might of the Spirit. It is a different power from the powers of the world. For this kingdom of God is not the result of the work of man. The God of heaven shall set up this kingdom, Daniel said. And Nebuchadnezzar, he saw that stone cut off without hands. And that's the secret, without hands. That says it is only the work of God. The origin of this kingdom is in God. It hath not entered into the heart of man. No hand of man should ever could make it. It is not of the pleasure. It is out of the pleasure of the Lord that this kingdom comes into being without hands. It is the sovereign work of God. So you have to see, this kingdom of the Lord is not the sixth in the series of that image. This kingdom belongs not in that great image. This kingdom comes from the other side. It doesn't fit into the picture of image of man. It is the kingdom of heaven. It is of divine origin, and therefore it is of eternal duration. It shall never be destroyed, said Daniel. This kingdom shall not be left to other people. It will not be conquered by others, but will ever be in the hands of the same people, the Church of God. In this kingdom will be no disturbance of tranquility and order. There is no revolution in this kingdom, for God himself is the eternal king. That stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it tumbles down the mountain to break in pieces and destroy all those other kingdoms. So the kingdom of man will be completely destroyed, and the kingdom of God will be completely triumphed. That kingdom of heaven, not wonderful. His origin is divine. His duration is eternal. His power is unconquerable. What a great contrast with the kingdoms of the image. They are human, temporary. They overcome by each succeeding kingdom. The kingdom of the Lord is quite different. It will gain the victory. It will be forever. The kingdom of the Lord is wonderful, for it is his work alone. And we find the reference of this kingdom in Jesus Christ and the progress of his kingdom. And from the deeds and the acts of Jesus Christ, we also can say, without hands, his coming in the world is no work of man. Nobody asked about him. He was even not wanted. Jesus was from eternity willing to come. He was disposed to fulfill the law of God. He said, I, Lord, I come. My ears hast thou opened. In the volume of the book is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Jesus Christ, the King of eternity, was willing to be a servant to obtain himself a people. Oh, how divine is his origin, and ever divine and even divine is his coming to earth. He's born from the Virgin Maria. No man has had a share in it. Without hands, how wonderful. Also his life and work was divine. Jesus growed up not in the things of below, but he must be about his Father's business. Was he not royal in all his life? As a king, he resisted the temptation of Satan. As a king who served, was he among the people, and so he set up the signs of the kingdom of God. He restored many to health. He casted out evil spirits. What a divine king is Jesus Christ. Without hands, how it is fulfilled in him, the eternal king. He is the stone that break the image to pieces. He is the king that will win, that gains the victory for all his people. Not by power, but by the spirit of gentleness, to give himself as the sacrifice of atonement. Oh, how divine is that sacrifice. How divine is that way of victory. Without hands, he is the anointed king, the king of Zion, and he sends his apostles and ministers to preach the gospel all over the world. So becomes that stone a great mountain. By the power of the gospel shall the kingdom of the world be destructed. And by the power of the gospel of this king shall sinners come into the kingdom of the Lord. Do you know his power in your own life? From nature we are all citizens of the kingdom of the world. We must be a member of the kingdom of the Lord. And it is this king who makes from sinners children of God. Do you know this change in your life? What we have said about the kingdom of God and about the king is also relevant to the members of this kingdom. To become and to stay a subject of this king, it is also a work without hands. It is only the work of God and his grace. It is the Holy Spirit who makes sinners to real members of his kingdom. God is working his grace without us, in us. Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into this kingdom of God. That is the way to become a member of this kingdom. Born of the Spirit, without hands, you cannot apply for this membership. You cannot send in your application. You cannot earn it by means of good works. It is without hands, only by the love and grace of God. And therefore, the members of this kingdom do know in their lives this wonder without hands, only as a poor sinner to lay down at the feet of that anointed King, Jesus Christ. Do you know this wonder? Do you understand it is without hands that sinners may be servants of the King of Kings? It is a wonder, and it stays a wonder, and it becomes more wonder, and it is an whole lesson to learn without hands. That's the way to salvation. Boys and girls, you are living in the struggle between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. It is an antithesis. It is one of the two. And where is your place in this struggle? How do you think that you will be redeemed? By your own works? Maybe you think I can live in the world and yet be blessed with the blessing of that kingdom of God? No, that will not go. Has the stone of the kingdom of God rolled into your life? That stone will break in pieces your heart, so that you get a broken heart and a contrite heart. Then there comes repentance and weeping about your sins with a prayer, "Have mercy upon me, O my God, according to thy loving kindness." And that stone, when it comes in our hearts, that makes place for Jesus Christ, for his work, then everything we have to put away of our hands, so that we may learn without hands, only by grace. That is the way of salvation. That is to know Jesus as my King. That is to know his powerful grace. Oh, is your heart so kill and hard? This stone breaks in with violence, with the force of love of the King of Kings. And that stone is going on with trembling and rolling. Then we have more and more everything of our life to bring under the ring of the Lord. Everything of my own ego had to be destructed, to kill my old nature and to live the new life of everlasting without hands, more and more. Is it the Lord who ringed the world? Yes, the stone is cut off out of the mountain, and yet it is rolling through the world. Oh, it can roll in also in your heart and life. Come to conversion with your whole heart, so that you may live for this King of Kings. But let we see the reaction of Nebuchadnezzar. He worshipped Daniel for the greatness of this interpretation of his dream. And he praised God, saying, "God is a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets." Isn't it splendid? But it was no more than a belief of wonders. Because after this, the king makes an image of gold in the plain of Dura. How is it possible? He praised the Lord and he said, "Amen on his revelation," and yet no real, no true conversion. Well, what is your reaction at this revealing of the Lord? that the kingdoms of the world will be destructed, but that the kingdom of God will gain the victory. Oh, bow in truth for this king and serve that Lord, he is at word, with the whole of your heart. Our king reigns forever. Thy kingdom come, O Lord. Amen.